Hello, everybody, and welcome to the November 2012 edition of the Coach Credentialing Shake. This is Susie Ebling, and I'm very happy to welcome Carly Anderson here. Carly is a MCC ICF assessor, and she's got a fantastic topic for us today. Carly, where do you want to start with this wonderful group?
Oh, thanks. Well, I've been excited to come and do this because I love connecting with fellow coaches and just exploring topics like this. I thought I'd maybe give just a 30-second overview of me, and then I want to move into the topic. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm originally from Australia. I live in the United States. I live in California. I'm actually married to Michael Stratford. I'll reveal that straight away. So I have been married to him for 10 years, so I have a different influence in my life than maybe most people, and a very good one, let me say. I started coaching in Australia back in 1998. I attended the first coach training program ever offered in Australia, and then I shifted into coaching pretty soon after that, even though I had a business and employees, and I was in a corporate consulting business. And so coaching has been my main profession since 1999, and I moved to the United States in 2001. I got my PCC in 2001, and I got my MCC in 2004, and I started doing assessing for the ICF in 2005 and with Coach U, Corporate Coach U, around the same time. And I have to say that one of the things that has become obvious to me is that I knew very little about coaching competencies until I became an assessor. And it's disappointing to me really to say that, because what I know now is that there's such a richness when you engage in understanding coaching skills at a deeper level. And by being in the question around competencies, you naturally start to evolve your own coaching skills. That's my observation. Now, I want to say that the information I'm going to present to you today is not something that the ICF has said, this is what we do. This is totally my idea of the competencies based on my experience over the last decade or so. And also, an attempt to debunk the linear approach that because competencies are outlined 1 to 11, that means that these need to be worked through 1 to 11. And the other thing is, I want to say that I'm not saying that the ICF competencies are the best or the worst. I'm just saying I know them. And if you know other competencies, coaching competencies well, then I imagine that's going to also support you in maybe we're being faxed into some place right now. that'll support you as well. If you want to engage in coaching competencies, use the ones that you feel a resonance with, and then we can, you can use whatever you feel is appropriate. So I'm hearing the feedback now. Whoever just came in, or that noise we had around the fax, do you want to just ask again, Susie, for people to put themselves on mute?
I'm going to mute everybody. Then Carly, come back with star 6, okay?
Okay.
You back, Carly?
Yes.
Fantastic. There you go.
Okay.
The line is clear.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't clear. Was I muted as well then?
Yes, but I unmuted you, so you're all set.
Okay. Great. Wouldn't it be nice to have a mute button in your life? I think that would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it? Oh, mute. There we go. Kind of get to do it on these lines and on the television. if you haven't got a copy of the one page that I put together on the target approach, then please go to my website and download that. It's just at carlyanderson.com, and then go to the services page and you'll find it under my speaking topics. It's the targeted approach. But I want to start by just giving you an outline of it, and then I want to open it for discussion, and hopefully you have some different points of view or you have some questions, whatever, that's fine. So shall I continue on, Susie?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Without doubt, and I will say this, that I've worked with a lot of my peers over the years in assessing coaching, and we all agree, I don't know if anyone else does not agree, that the most important competency is coaching presence, without a doubt. The reason being is, and I see it as being twofold, it is about understanding, it's called coaching presence, it's not called personal presence, it's called coaching presence. So first of all, you need to know what coaching is and isn't, which is why I see the subset of coaching presence is ethics. You have to know where the boundaries of coaching are. You have to know what a coaching process is. You have to know when you are in dangerous territory with therapy or other things. So you have to have a good understanding of what coaching is and isn't, and also what a coaching model is. Essentially, coaching is about taking a client or understanding where they are now, where they want to be, and helping them define the gap. And also how they're going to close that gap. So it could be defining where they want to go, and then what do they need to do more of, do less of, whatever. So coaching presence, first of all, the first part is about understanding the coaching part, and then the second is presence. And presence is a little harder to define because it engages so much of our self. It's about us understanding ourselves. It's about us feeling confident in the coaching process. It's about us feeling confident and willing to be in a co-creative partnership with a client so that we can bring our coaching skills to the relationship and we allow the client to bring themselves to the relationship. So our presence, if we aren't willing to challenge a client, challenge a client in a positive way, challenge their thinking, challenge their beliefs, challenge how they see themselves in relation to what they want to accomplish, if we just want to be liked, we want to be sort of feel good and, well, this is just so great, we get to have this great relationship with this person, that's not necessarily the best thing for the client. You need to be aware of your presence and who you are, where your stuck points are, where you get hooked, and also be aware of, are you willing to share your gut? Are you willing to share your intuitions? Are you able to bring forth in an effective way perspectives and allow the client to see themselves through your eyes at times because you are not them. And that's one of the values of being a coach, is our clients want a perspective that is different than how they see themselves. They may not articulate it that way, but that's an important aspect. So I'm going to pause there because I've talked a lot about coaching presence and ethics as part of this, and this is like the very core of the target. This is what you always want to be focused on and centering around, is am I understanding what coaching presence is and am I developing and growing myself and my ability to understand coaching so that I can be of best service to my coaching clients. Any questions, comments? Do you have a different point of view? Would love to hear from some people. Please unmute yourself.
Star 6 if you need to unmute. Everybody still here? I see you on the web dashboard.
Any comments, any questions, or is that all just really clear and you're going, yay, I know, that's great?
This is Janet. The part that I resonated with is that you help to see them differently than they see themselves.
Mm.
And that came up with a client yesterday, and so this is helpful to hear the way that you stated it. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, if the client knew how to move through things, then they wouldn't probably need a coach. But oftentimes what gets in the road is their own mindset. In fact, I'd probably say that it's the biggest part is how we think about ourselves or others or us in relationship to the world or to, you know, our business or whatever, or fellow people we work with. And so that's the main area that we end up having conversations about with our clients is, if you want to accomplish something, there's probably something around their mindset and their way of seeing themselves in their circumstances that may be good for now or may have served them to this point, but is not going to serve them moving forward to achieve what they are wanting to achieve next. Anyone else? Okay, so I want to put forward something that I see all the competencies about is about, it's a weaving process. It's not something where you're sort of walking down a path. You're constantly weaving a cloth with your client. It's like the threads are what we are weaving together. So with an understanding that coaching presence is the core, and if you don't have a strong presence, which means that if you don't feel confident in yourself and in the coaching process, then you're going to be limited in the type of threads that you're going to weave with your client. For example, sometimes it's important that you do challenge a client, and that may mean that sometimes you may feel like you're in conflict. It may be conflicting inside of yourself. What if I say this about the client? What if they don't agree? All that inner dialogue, which is about what we have to deal with as well as coaches in order to be clear and available for our clients. But we have to be willing to maybe even bring forth an offer, a different perspective, to the point where the client may disagree with us. And that's absolutely fine. It has nothing to do with what you offer. It's how you offer it. And that leads us into the active listening. The next piece out of the target is, after coaching presence, is how we listen. Everything about coaching is how we listen, what we're hearing, what we're not hearing, the breadth and depth of our hearing. And the other thing I want to say is, over the years, our understanding of coaching has evolved. That's my observation. We used to put a lot of emphasis just on coaching being about asking great questions. Now, that's still there, except it's not the be-all and end-all of a great coaching session for a client. The depth of your listening will inform your questions. And also, the other part that's really, really important is the emotional or feeling level that you're getting from the client. And I think in the past, early on, we had this thing about, well, if we talk about feelings and emotions, we may be getting into therapy. And I want to say that's not true. That where we've evolved to over the years with coaching, from my experience, is we are interested in and listening for where the client is engaged, where their energy is going up, where we may be in, hearing their energy go down. We may be articulating an emotion that we're hearing. So being able to say, you know, I hear some sadness right now in your voice when you talk about that, or it sounds exciting, or whatever. I mean, use emotional language, or to be able to listen at the level of emotions, is such an important part, especially as you progress through to TCC, MCC levels of coaching. You can't just deal with the logical. You have to deal with the whole person, and the whole person is emotions as well as dreams, desires. It's all emotional. So understanding and being able to use emotions and bring those forth in your listening is such an important part of effective coaching. Before we move on, again, I want to give you an opportunity. Is there any questions you have about what I just said, or do you have anything you want to add? Any experiences you've had with deeper listening? Oh, maybe I'm lulling them all to sleep here, Susie.
No way. But I was just thinking that I have been corrected for being too touchy-feely.
So there's a balance there. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I think someone else was coming in.
Yeah, this is Karen. Hi.
Hi.
started having a whole conversation, but I forgot to unmute myself. So I'm very excited to hear you, as an ICF assessor, talk about the emotional component or the whole person we are coaching. Because I get very stuck on the instruction or the understanding, certainly, that we are expected to ask defining questions and not go beyond that because that's not our place as a coach. When I actually had one of my calls assessed, the comments were that I expressed acknowledgement, or like I said, oh, that sounds wonderful, or I'm hearing so much pain behind your words, and I was told that that's not okay.
Wow, that surprises me. So, and I can't tell in the context of just what you've said, it's not in the context of a whole session. So hearing that does surprise me.
So is it okay to say, I hear some sadness in your voice, let's talk about it, rather than, wow, I'm really concerned about the emotion in your voice? There's a distinction between those two, right?
Well, I would say that you just offer, rather than making an assumption that what you're hearing is correct. So that you may even just make it a little even simpler, Karen, by saying, you know, I'm sensing some sadness right now. And let the client tell you whether that is true or not. And if you hear their energy go up in their voice, you would say, wow, I notice right now that your voice has gone up and it feels like excitement to me. I'm just wondering how you're feeling right now about what you're talking about. So it's that sort of thing, and then allowing the client to be able to tell you if that is true, because sometimes we don't recognize in ourselves when we are more excited about something or when we may be feeling less excited. So we think we have to do something, and maybe it's coming out. We're hearing it as the coach in their voice. We're hearing a lack of engagement. So we might even, just by even being able to mirror back, it's part of the active listening skills of being able to mirror back what the client has said to ensure clarity and understanding. And if it says, reinforce the client's expression of feelings, perceptions. So being able to just offer them and say, I'm sensing this is something that doesn't excite you right now. I mean, that's all emotional content, so I don't know in the context of how you were doing a whole session, but these are the sorts of things that, in my experience, actually increase your scoring when you're doing an assessment, an exam.
This is incredibly helpful, and I think I'm going to take a step back and actually say that my wording, instead of saying things like I'm noticing that there is excitement in your voice, I would actually say, wow, that's wonderful. And so that was described to me as being judgmental, not in a negative way, but that it's not my place to give my opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, again, I can't comment in the context. However, what I can say is, being overly like, wow, that's wonderful, if that's an MO for you, if that's like you'd like to say those sorts of things, they may be the things that don't necessarily connect with the client at a deeper level of understanding. So it's like, look for, when you say, if you were to say, wow, that's wonderful, what is it actually that you're saying, wow, that's wonderful to? And be able to articulate that as more of an observation than as something that can sound a little cheerleaderish, or it can sound a little false sometimes if we just go, you know, wow, that's great, that's wonderful, fantastic, or whatever. I would interpret that more as cheerleading rather than what's the actual emotion or the wording that would give the client something that they could work with.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
That was a great question and really, really valuable, because I think that that's important to be able to distinguish and say it is important to bring in emotions. It's the how.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right, so let me move on in this target. So we've got coaching presence, and then we have the way we listen informs, and I do have a copy of the competencies in front of me, but under active listening, it does talk about being able to distinguish between words, tone of voice, and body language if you are in person with your client. So to be able to distinguish tone of voice, you have to include emotional language. It's like I hear your excitement go up, I hear the energy go down. That's all, to me, emotional language. It doesn't have to be deep, and it's just being able to use emotional language that's appropriate in the moment that gives the client the opportunity to see themselves differently or to validate what they are feeling, which could take them to another place of awareness, which we'll get to in a moment. But the way we listen informs the questions we ask. And when we are really, truly listening to the client and we are very present, we listen for the questions that are going to take the client forward, not backward. So that's a really key point. Questions in a coaching relationship are all about how does this support the client with an understanding of the present to the future. And so what questions, how questions are really good questions to ask, and they're informed by our listening, as is direct communication. And direct communication is, I think, misunderstood, again, in my experience. Direct communication means being able to message. A lot of the time it's being able to state, and it says reframe and articulate what you're hearing the client say, not in the form of a question, but in the form of an observation, which is more of a statement. So instead of being a question, you might say, you know, I can't think of something out of context right now, but if someone has something that you would consider to be like just an observation about me right now, what would be an observation that you could make that isn't a question?
Let me come up with something here.
Harley, you are very adept at understanding and articulating what's important for the client.
Excellent. Judy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Judy. Yeah, that's great. See, that's an observation. It's a statement. And what it does is it gives the client, again, another perspective to consider about themselves or what they are talking about. And it doesn't have to be a question every time. So I would say, too, one of the things that I was listening in when I was just sitting there for a minute was, I might say, Carly, you have a passion. I hear that you have a passion for this topic. Now, they're the types of things that you would say in a coaching relationship, because if you're just focusing on questions alone, you're missing the weaving process, because it's about being able to articulate the things that you're hearing in ways that gives that bottom line to the client some information about themselves or their situation. And the more you focus on the client rather than on the data that they're bringing to the session, the more effective your coaching is going to be. Focus on the person rather than the content, because the content is in relation, you know, that's what they know about, that's what they can do something about. It's going to be more about how they interact with the content that we work with as coaches. Not to say that it's not about the content, but the more you get into the content, the more you're moving toward consulting, teaching, training, other modalities. So that's a target. In my target, that's really the crux of it. Is you start with coaching presence, then your listening informs the type of questions you ask and and the communication and direct communication, another powerful part of direct communication is using client language in metaphor or analogy. When you hear the client say something or you know something about what, you know, their circumstances are or whatever, bringing in an analogy or a metaphor can cut through so much so that we get to a point. So I've been using weaving. And weaving can, I mean, you take a something like that, and I'm sure that it gives you an image of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about creating a rich fabric and the threads, and I bring that in. It just bottom lines communication. So be aware and listen for opportunities to engage the client in metaphor, and in their metaphors is even better because it will take you places in the coaching session you would never have imagined.
Carly?
Yes.
This is Bobby. I'm a coach trainer. I train wellness coaches. And one of the things that I have found to be very helpful with my students is to suggest that they listen to their own coaching sessions and to listen to it as if they're listening to music and to hear, you know, to hear the flow of how they're coaching. Very often, they have big insights when they listen. If they're overusing questions, the session and the conversation can sound very staccato, like question, 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 question. And it can feel like an interrogation. Whereas if they learn how to use reflections and other tools to kind of, as you say, I love the metaphor of weaving. You know, then the session, especially with reflections, can become very smooth, and there's more of a sense of dancing, you know, that you can achieve with your clients by just simply reflecting something and then waiting and giving that client space to kind of think it through, to feel it, to, you know, to see what else comes up for them.
Yes, very nice. In fact, you used two metaphoric pieces there, which besides the music was the dancing.
Yeah.
And either one of those could lead into some beautiful, rich imagery and communication that allows, as you said, your coaches in training in that case to evaluate themselves from a different perspective. I love it.
Thank you. I really appreciate your perspective on this. And the whole, I find it really helpful to break things down into simpler components, because I think that when we're learning coaching, and even for advanced coaches, it can get very complex in our minds, you know.
Yes.
So it's very helpful to make it simpler, and I really like your model here. Very nice.
Oh, good. Yes, I agree with you. I think we can overcomplicate it, and it really is in the best. I hesitate to say this, but it's true because it can be misheard. So I need to clarify when I say this. That really great coaching sounds like a conversation,
but it
is not a normal conversation that you would have with a friend, because the coach, with a really competent coach who understands the coaching process, will have moved through all of the competencies seamlessly as appropriate in that session, and the client will come out feeling as if they have got what they needed from that session, and they may come out with a wow. Every session is not a wow session, as we know, for a client, but it gives the best opportunity. And when a client says, wow, that was great, and they can't tell where it was seamless in the conversation, but the coach knows that they have been very deliberate in how they've structured that session without having to bring coaching to the foreground. You sort of know the process so well that it's in the background, but you know that you are working a coaching conversation versus a friend or a sort of therapeutic type of conversation.
That's the kind of conversation. My favorite coaching conversations are the conversations when often my clients will say, I don't know how we got from there to here, but thank you.
Right.
I love that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is the nonlinear part.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else? That was great. Thank you, Bobby. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move into why I put that the only other competencies are outputs or applications. Rather than the core of the coaching conversation. When we talk about applications, the coaching agreement is an application of coaching. It is not a skill in itself, it is an application of coaching skills. It's an important part, and being able to help the client to focus in on what's important to them is very important to being effective in a coaching situation. Now, I just did a blog article a couple of days ago on questions for establishing the coaching agreement, and it was interesting. I got a couple of pieces of like communication about when I say that it's important in the coaching agreement that you get to a point where you're asking the client, how would you like to use our time together today? What's most valuable for you to put our attention on? What would make the biggest difference for you? It's really about, rather than asking, what's up right now? How have you been? How can I help you? I mean, they're all good questions, but they're not really supporting, I don't believe, in my experience, that they actually support the client in being able to hone in on what they want to focus on today. This is a therapeutic conversation or a friend conversation where you just want to go, well, you know, tell me, what's up? Tell me everything. In a coaching conversation, you want to help the client focus in on what's going to be valuable for you today. Now, if they want to tell you then about what's happened, that they've had a tragedy in their family or they've had a change in their circumstances at work or whatever, they will tell you because they will tell you what's most important for them today. And as you explore that, then you will ask your questions and you will clarify what it is that they want to be able to get as a result of the coaching conversation today. And the coaching agreement really is understanding that that's what you're establishing, and it doesn't have to happen in the first 2 minutes. In fact, that is, again, it's interesting how often I hear when I'm assessing coaching that coaches treat the coaching agreement as if it's separate to coaching. Like, oh, well, I've got to ask the client, what do I want to work on today or what do you want to focus on? What will you be able to do as a result or why is that important to you or whatever it is to establish if that's the most important thing for the session. And then they go, oh, okay, right. It's almost like they go, right, now I can start coaching. I'm like, no. Coaching agreement is an application of coaching skills. So you ask questions, you clarify, you may be doing some coaching before you get to the point where it's clear, then you ask the question again. So given all that you've spoken about, what would be the most important thing or things to focus on in the time we have together? You may be 10 or 15 minutes into the coaching already, and you haven't yet clarified completely the coaching agreement, but you've been coaching all the time. And it's clear to them, the client may be taking that long to get clear on what it is that's most important to them. And at some stage, you know that you've established the coaching agreement when you say, so if we were to focus, or a version of this, so if we were to focus the rest of the time on this, would that be the most valuable thing for you? Something along those lines. If the client says yes, you keep going until you may hit another fork in the road. And it may be obvious that there's another sort of conversation that seems at odds with where you're going. So that's a point where you can, again, apply the coaching skills to the agreement and say, is this time, can I just check in? We're working towards this and moving in that direction. This seems like a different topic. Where would you like to go next? So that's essentially recontracting with the client as you go through the session. Sometimes that comes up, sometimes it doesn't, but you have to be, it's your coaching presence, your listening, your ability to ask questions and observations through direct communication that keep informing the application of the coaching agreement. Now, I'm pretty sure you haven't heard it put that way before, because
I'm going to guess that. But if you have, then I'd love to hear. But do you have any questions, comments, concerns about how I have my perspective and observations about what makes an effective coaching agreement? I'll have a sip of my ginger herbal tea.
Carly, this is Tina Elliott.
Hi, Tina.
Hi. You know, I just wanted to say what you were just talking about is so powerful that a lot of times coaches think they have to get to that agreement first thing.
Yeah.
First couple of minutes. And sometimes, depending on where your client is, it may take a while, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think that's so powerful to know. You just have to keep working with your client, right?
You have to use your coaching skills, yeah, exactly, to serve your client until they get clear. Some clients will come to the session and they go, I know exactly what I want to work on. But then you have to help them even just ask them a little more about what would you be able to do with that information if you had it, or how's that going to apply in real life? I mean, they're all questions you don't know how if they need to be asked until you're in the session. But it is the weaving thing again. You have to weave until we get clarity, and then it comes, oh, there's the coaching agreement. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, fabulous.
Okay, this is Molly. My question about these competencies, and especially about the application of the agreement, is this because of ICF standards, or is this what you consider to be in all types of coaching? Because there are times when, you know, that client really does know where they want to go, and that session really becomes, you know, powerful, energized, and I'm wondering if that agreement is always necessary to weave in during the time.
You're absolutely right. Yes, you're right, Molly. As I said, there's sometimes when the client comes to the coaching session very clear on what they want to focus on, in which case you can, it may be just not, it doesn't need to have a lot of extra, there's nothing else that needs to be asked. And if that's the case, you just start coaching, and unless your gut and your intuition or something is telling you that you need to ask a further question. For instance, if a client comes and it's really clear that they want to work on something, that's fine. But if they come and they talk about, this is what I'd like to work on, I may still ask, I just want to check in with you, is this the most important thing for you to work on today in our coaching or to address?
You would feel that, right? Your intuition as a coach would tell you that.
Exactly.
If that didn't occur during an assessment with an ICF assessor, would that not be challenged by the assessor if you didn't weave in that agreement throughout the session? That's what I'm asking, really.
Yes. Now, the whole thing with the ICF, and I'm not a representative of the ICF, but what they've done recently is gone to all recorded sessions for exams. There are no live exams anymore for ICF. So if you have an ACC application, you put in one recording. If you have a PCC, you need to put in two recordings, as with MCC, if you're going the portfolio track. And the thing is, not every coaching session is going to be appropriate to put in for an exam that demonstrates your skill level. So that's an important thing that I think a lot of coaches who are going for an exam get caught up on, is they'll just record one session, and usually in the past it's been with a fellow coach or someone like that, which is not allowed anymore unless they're an ongoing client, because coaches help other coaches, and it doesn't help you as in an exam process when your fellow coach is coaching themselves, and so you don't want a coach in your exam process. However, as assessors, we've been trained to be a good client to the best of our ability, to allow you, if you are in a live situation, which I still am with corporate coach you, we have to give the candidate an opportunity to be able to ask those extra questions, to bring a subject where they could ask those extra questions, where we don't just say, I know exactly what I want to work on today. So we act in that way. But when you're now putting in recorded sessions, you have to evaluate, like Bobby was saying. You go back and you may record with a client, just start recording, say, every session, can we record? And then when one or two of these is appropriate, I feel like they are appropriate for putting in for my exam, I'll come back and ask you to sign the agreement. But that's what I would do. I'd be evaluating, is this a good one to put in for the exam process?
Okay, I understand. That's very clear. That's very interesting. Thank you.
Good question.
Carly, this is Amara Ross.
Hi, Amara.
Hi. Looking forward to seeing... I hope you're with Michael when you come to Seattle next time.
I don't know, but it would be fun.
So I wanted to just pop in here, too, that I think it goes back to your comment about coaching the client and not the content. And so the session agreement, too, the probing around that is really making sure that what the client is bringing is and what you're holding the space for them to do is to examine, you know, why this is important, why now, you know, and really what is their relationship to this thing that they're bringing that they are so clear about. I think that's the biggest piece of this application, if you will, of the session agreement.
I love that. You're right, Amara. It's really about if they just want, like, someone to give them, like, a task orientation towards something, then that's really a very low level of understanding of how to use a coach. And the person responsible for educating the client is really the coach, and the way you do that is through what you just said.
And as an assessor, an ICF assessor, you know, we are looking for four elements, basically, in the coaching agreement. It's the topic, what do they want to explore, what outcome, how are they going to measure success toward that outcome, and the underlying issue. So as you read the behavior descriptions for each of the credential levels, those four elements are there as part of the session agreement. And, you know, as an assessor, I'm looking for those. And how are they elicited by the coach? How are they presenced as part of the coaching session? So I think anyone making a recording for an exam needs to be aware that, especially if you're applying for PCC and particularly for MCC, that exploration in those four key areas as part of the agreement is really important to keep in mind.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Out.
Yes. And that's why, don't you agree, Amara, that, I mean, each person needs to evaluate, and with their mentor coach as well, is this session doing that? If I'm applying for my PCC or MCC, have I evaluated and gone back and listened to this recording of myself and my client from the perspective of, is the agreement fully explored to the best of the ability?
Mm-hmm.
Just beyond the what do you want to focus on, is it then going into, well, how will you know that this is, you've been successful in this, and what's important to you about that, and all those elements that bring in the whole person rather than just the linear, what do you want to focus on? Okay, let's get going.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Which is fine for ACC, although still I you probably do too, really want ACC level people to be focusing on the whole person from the beginning, not just on the process.
Right, exactly.
Have that intent.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
I appreciate what you're bringing forward here. I think it's really key for all of us as coaches to keep in mind, especially if you're going for another level of credential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yes, and I do have a little passion for this. I just didn't realize it until this year how much of it I had.
It's certainly not evident, of course, Carly, that you're doing that.
I've been asked to speak so many times this year in mentoring groups and that, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it. And because what I really want is to stand for us continuing to evolve the standards and to be acknowledging that the standards have changed over the years. What our understanding of in 10 years ago about the coaching competencies and what makes a great coaching session
is not the same as it is today, even though I still think these competencies are really great. There's just different categories than what I see the ICF has categorized them as.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to continue to evolve as our understanding of coaching evolves. Yet the competencies are all still relevant. They just have a different interaction engagement level from my perspective, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more depth. Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
I join you in your passion.
Yay! Let's crusade.
We are.
So let me move on to planning and goal setting. It's no different to me than coaching agreement in some ways, although the coaching agreement is different. But it's an application. Planning and goal setting is an application of your coaching skills. You have to be able to ask the questions that the client will help them clarify what's the bigger picture of this coaching. Is it, or why are they even in coaching? What's it about? What do they want to accomplish? So that may be a plan that goes for a month, a year, a quarter. I don't know. I don't think, again, none of these competencies have timelines on them. It's really what's appropriate. But it is holding the bigger picture and being able to know how to do that with a client and do some goal setting. And sometimes in a coaching session, if the client brings something that seems like it's about the bigger picture and you don't ask a bigger picture question, then I think, you, again, as an assessor, you lose an opportunity to score higher in your coaching skills, because if you don't ask about the vision or what would you be able to do if you had this in your life, or this way of being was different for you in 3 months from now, or whatever timeline. But if you don't at least go out and ask the client, you are missing opportunities for the client to do some visioning, and maybe that leads to some goal setting. So visioning questions, things that take the client to the bigger picture, can be part of the coaching agreement as well. You could be asking bigger picture questions, which then helps to establish measures of success, which helps you to establish a potential coaching plan as well. So that's why, again, it's a weaving process in understanding the coaching competencies and how they build on each other, but they are distinctly different, but they're interacting with each other. Outputs. I want to talk about outputs. Trust and intimacy, creating awareness, designing actions, and progress and accountability, from my perspective, are outputs of the powerful questions, the direct communication, your listening, your presence. Trust and intimacy comes from the way you respond to the client, comes from the questions you ask, the observations you make. Creating awareness is the one where I feel like coaches have the biggest opportunity to improve on, as an assessor at least, is that creating awareness comes, again, from the questions you ask and being able to hear when there's I'm getting something. When the client you do ask a question, or you make an observation, or you reflect back an emotion or something that you're hearing, or a change in their voice or something, and the client, you allow the space and the silence for the client to explore that, and that is potentially a place where the client is creating awareness. So don't step into the space. Allow that space. And ask the client, is there something you're getting right now? What's happening for you right now? And then listen. What the mistake is I hear a lot of coaches make is they have a next question they want to ask, or they have something they want to say, and they step over the very place where the client is probably in the process of getting something different that would be of value to them, which would then immediately become the place that you coach from in that present moment, and that's the place you could design actions from in that moment, because the client is getting awareness. They may say, oh, I didn't think of that before. Red, ding, 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 ding. Listen to the bells in your head go off. Creating awareness, happening. Time for me to be quiet, and just continue to ask, or allow the client to reflect to the point where then they may get to a point where they say, oh, I know what I need to do next. Okay, what is that? Now you're directly into designing actions. The biggest mistake coaches make with their clients is that they wait till the end and design actions. when actions can be designed at any time in the coaching session, and especially if you're really listening for when the questions you ask, the observations you make, are leading the client to an awareness, and you've got to be attuned to the language or the emotional changes in the client's voice or body language if you're in person, that gives you the indication that now's the time to stop and just go straight, stay right where you are, and then ask the client about what do you want to do with that. Design the actions on not only the doing level, but what would need to change in them, or what would they need in order to move forward becomes the accountability piece, which is also an output. These all tie together and weave together, but they don't all happen at the end. They can, you can recap, they may happen near the end, but I'm just saying don't expect it to be a linear process. So progress and accountability is part of, it comes from designing actions. As soon as there's an action that comes up, then it's like, well, what do you need in order to be effective with that? That's an accountability question. The lowest level, in an exam situation at least, of an accountability is when you say, how will you be accountable to that? Or even worse is, how will I hold you accountable to that? Please do not insert yourself in the accountability process for the client. Certainly as part of your ongoing coaching, you can ask, how did you do with your the things you committed to doing from our last session? That's accountability. That's different than putting yourself and holding and sort of playing parent. See, that becomes parenting when you start putting yourself in the coaching, the managing progress and accountability. You sound like a parent. Well, how will I know you've done that? No, put the client, I always like to see my metaphor is the client is on stage, we're sort of spotlights. We're shining the spotlights on the client. So let's help them be responsible and find out what they need, what resources do they have in their community, what do they need, people resources, do they need anything else? Sometimes clients don't need anything. You hear the commitment level. It's all about commitment. And do they feel they've got what they need in order to be able to move to the action? Or do you need to work with blocks and barriers, and what needs to be removed in order for them to be able to take the action they want? So progress and accountability is a very tied into the designing actions, which comes from the awareness that's being created at any point in the coaching session. So that's my view of how the competencies sort of fit. And I guess, you know, trust and intimacy, well, let me say creating awareness. I ask any of you to create awareness with me in the moment without asking me a question or making a statement. It's impossible. You cannot manufacture awareness out of nothing. It has to come from your other skills and from these core skills in the target. Again, I think that's it for me. I'm just going to open it up for any last questions we have, comments. If you have anything you want to challenge me about, you don't agree with, I'm happy for that as well.
Carly, this is Bobby, and I have a question that I've been thinking about for a long time. Some coach trainer talk about making coaching requests, and I see that as part of some coaching training. And some of how I see some of my coaches coming in, and they're kind of trained to make coaching requests. That's not how I coach, but I'm wondering, you know, what you see in terms of that whole concept of a coach making a request of a client, rather than asking the client what they want and what's going to serve them.
I love that. Yes, I'm aware too of coach training programs that teach requests as being a really important part. I think they are an important part, and like any of those coaching skills, it's a matter of how you use it and when.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first place. It's to me, requests you make of a client comes born from what you are intuiting or perceiving would be of support of the client. And they come after, most often they'll come after the client, if the client has already come up with their actions, but you're sensing there's something else that would support them. So that's the time I would make a request. Is, you know, it would
And a lot of the time the requests probably are more on the who level and the mindset level rather than on the action level of the doing.
Can you give an example of how you would make a request? What an example would be?
Yeah. So I'll just imagine the client I've had, without going into any background on it, I would say to that client who is having like challenges with being able to express themselves well in a business situation, where they get frustrated with not being able to speak up at the right times in a meeting, and then they blurt it all out and it sounds like they're angry and aggressive.
Yes.
So they may not even realize that behavior is happening, and yet I get to observe something in a coaching session, which I did live in a coaching session with one of my clients. So I got to observe this particular dynamic actually happen when someone opened the door on our coaching session and how he reacted. And so he was totally unaware. He's like saying, oh, I have my emotions are fine. And I was like, okay, what just happened? And so we talked about it, and so my request is to be aware of when you are feeling so bottled up.
Mm-hmm.
My request is to start to pay attention to what are the signs in your body.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an example that I could give of a request that I would make that probably the client would never think of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How is that different than just asking them, like the way that I would do that is I would say something like, what would happen if you started noticing, you know, your physical responses in your body during a meeting like that?
That's equally as valid. I see that as being a great thing. I don't perceive that it's necessary to be, that's sort of more of an indirect. It's not necessary, I don't believe, to be indirect and ask a question every time if it would serve the client to bottom line it in that moment.
Yes, okay.
It depends. See, again, you don't know and which way to go until you're in the session in the moment and where you are in the session. And rather than going into more exploration, they may just be, say, my client would have been overloaded if I asked him another question at that point.
Right.
Because he was already in it.
Right. So by making a request, it's sort of something for him to think about afterwards.
Right. And again, the tonality is so important. I mean, if it sounds like it's coming from the coach and it's like, I want to make this request, it sounds like I'm in charge.
Yes.
Versus it's a flow in the conversation that the word request is like tiny. The
okay.
concept is requesting, but the word doesn't have to be request.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
This has been very helpful. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Karen Voskemper. Hi, Carly.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to share with the group that the whole concept that you talked about, creating awareness and when the client has that aha moment to sort of, to not maneuver, I don't mean it like that, but to sort of be aware that there's the opportunity to create actions and design actions with the client. You know, you had sort of talked to me about that concept shortly before my certification with Coach U, and I just wanted to share with everybody that type of situation came up right there in my certification. The light bulbs went on. I thought, here's my opportunity to really engage and apply what I had learned from you, and I did. And in fact, it was actually in the assessment afterwards. That particular coaching skill was mentioned as one of the things that I did really well. So
wow.
I just wanted to share with the group that methodology of looking at it from that perspective, you know, when you get that aha to look at designing actions and then, you know, go into accountability, it just worked beautifully. And so I just wanted to thank you for that and share that with the group.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. So often we just step over the opportunity, and that's really the thing, is we have to be aware about awareness. What awareness is an opportunity to engage in the moment.
Guys, I'm going to stop the recording, and we can hang on another 5 minutes or so, but I'm going to go ahead and stop it now.